This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
This, I'm so close to getting into trouble here with this. Josh Allen versus Geno Smith fantasy call. This is where I get into trouble.
What kind of trouble do you mean? You're going to make the wrong choice, or someone's going to be mad at you? There's going to be repercussions.
No,
other than okay.
No, not that at all. It's okay. My own.
All right.
Issue. People like to use the word for what I'm talking about. Overthink.
Sure.
I don't think I believe in overthink.
Well, that's because you're overthinking.
I'm not sure.
See?
Maybe.
See
there, you have me.
See what I did there?
Maybe you have me now. I'm not the go with your first instinct type.
I'm telling you, this is your friend.
Yeah. How about think about it?
Yeah. Yep.
And so it's Gino's birthday, too.
Tonight?
Right now.
Wow.
What are the odds?
Well, I mean, 1 in 365.
That's right. That's right. Wow. Point something. That's right.
I'm nailing the numbers today.
Football Guys has Geno Smith for this week as quarterback 6 and Allen as quarterback 16. Allen's prop bet to throw more than one touchdown pass is plus 155. Have at it. If you see him throwing two touchdown passes in this game, your $20 wins 31.
I'm probably going to use that in a parlay somewhere.
It's a pretty good price for two touchdown passes in one game.
Right.
Which Geno Smith, last 4 weeks, is averaging 323 passing yards. And he's only thrown one touchdown in every game. So he's kind of due with that kind of volume for a little bit better luck when it comes to touchdowns.
See, I'm I don't know that I'm a good person to be asking about this right now, because last week I was sort of betting. I bet on Allen last week. Like, I knew they had these injuries, including Shakir, who's like my favorite pass catcher on the team. I said, they look terrible. He looked pretty bad in Baltimore. I bounce it back. He's not going to play poorly. He's going to want to put on a show against Diggs. And we got the opposite. I mean, we just got a disaster. So,
yes,
that could push you all the more to, is he going to have three bad weeks in a row? No way. That just does not happen to this guy. But I don't know. This is an opponent that he has had a tough time against mostly. So it could really, it's challenging, I think. And not just, not just thinking about Geno versus Josh Allen, although that's your specific problem. You got only a few hours left to make a call on that, because Geno Smith plays at 8:15 or 8:20 this evening. So you're going to have to make a decision there. It's more challenging when I'm thinking about what I'm going to do Monday night. FanDuel wants me and all of us that are spokespeople for them to like put a parlay together and sort of, put it out there. Like, I'm doing this. They want to see if fans follow us or whatever. And I don't know what I want to do yet. I don't think I want to do something like that and put a disclaimer in there. I lose a lot. that's not where you want to be, right? So, but I also don't think I want to put my name on betting on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets against Josh Allen and the Bills. So, it's a hard one. You might, you know, be nice if they were playing Tennessee this week.
Are you betting with your head or your heart?
You could, yeah. You could just, you know, oh, Tennessee, forget it. Yeah, he's going to throw for 450 yards. He's going to kill Tennessee.
It is a really fascinating moment here with Allen. Because, yeah, to whatever extent Allen versus Diggs was appropriate, I mean, he got stomped.
Yeah.
Diggs had a good day. Not an amazing day. He's kind of a short area player now. But still, like, he put a game up.
Mm-hmm.
And Allen put one of his worst ever games up. You know, and a lot of people were looking at that matchup. We've had people call this week wondering if it was in his head a little bit. And knowing that he's had many great games in prime time on the road, like, that's not to be forgotten. But Baltimore was, and again since, it getting thrown on. And the Bills had nothing there. And I just only want to go so far blaming other people. You know, like, okay, they don't have as much talent at receiver. That's undeniable. And the scheme is a little wonky, it seems, with how many of their throws are outside. But Allen is at least partly, if not largely, responsible for that. And we talked about some questionable decisions late in this game. We've been talking about that all week. So now it's a big game in the division, and the Jets do this thing with the coaching change. All right, here's your spot to remind everybody whose world they live in. The Jets and the Dolphins, you know, and the, mm-hmm. the Patriots. Like, this is you can do that. Because even with the Jets' problems, they are very good defensively. Like, they're respectable. And I don't know that this move really has to be a problem for them this week, you know, preparation-wise or whatever. Like, there's another the defensive coordinator is taking over. Like, I just don't think of it as something that should be a distraction or an obstacle for them. Anyway, the point isn't about the Jets. I'm just saying, like, I doubt they roll over here and they just turtle because this coaching change happened. Here's Allen with another. This is the league. It's how it is. There's always more of these. But Monday night on the road, have you still got it? Are you okay here with this team, this offense, this season?
Mm-hmm.
That's what, I mean, it'll probably be mostly about the Jets on the broadcast Monday, but man, our side of it is really interesting too.
Yeah, it definitely is. And yeah, you know, the only look I think you have at the Jets being damaged, distracted, rollover is the phrasing you use there, is if, and it's a big if, I mean, because a guy that I'm assuming they all like and respect has taken over for a guy that they liked and respected, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Like, that's the thing that's curious about this. It's maybe not unlike Ken Dorsey getting fired because there's 12 men on the field on a field goal try that costs you a game. So now you lost and your offense had a, you know, wonky game, but oh, we're firing this guy. Like, what? I mean, the Bills didn't seem upset by that at all. I mean, they clobbered the next team on their schedule and went on a winning streak from there. I mean, they lost to Philly and then whatever. Anyway, so still, with the Jets, it's, you know, is the Sauce Gardner feel like Robert Saleh got done dirty? Does Quinnen Williams feel like, you know, Robert Saleh got done dirty? And do they resent Aaron Rodgers for that? Right. Despite all the happy smiley faces being put on everything and how much Rodgers resents the insinuation or the flat out statement that he had something to do with this happening, this coaching change, you know, inside guys would either A, know or B, suspect, and they could be really ticked off about that. That's the only leg you have to stand on, I think, if you think this is going to be detrimental to them. And I wouldn't rule it out. It could be, you know. I guess we'll decide after the game and see how it looks, you know, because you can't know going in because nobody's really giving you clues about it. So, you know, I think that probably will look about how they've looked, which, you know, unless that includes Rodgers completing way more passes to his guys rather than the other team's guys, and they can, you know, get the offense out of the mud. None of it will really even matter, probably. But so the timing of it is very interesting, especially with the play caller. Like, I'm more tuned into that than I am who took over for Robert Saleh, because I'm relatively stunned. I'm not saying it wasn't warranted, but I'm amazed that Rodgers presiding over the entire thing has allowed Nate Hackett to lose play calling duties. I think that's startling.
803-0550. Bills and Jets Monday night. Sabres and Kings tonight. Okay, finally, here's the name.
Oh, the receiver. Sure. See, I forgot probably, three more times.
You probably would have guessed it, but Diontae Johnson.
Sure.
He's a rental. His contract is up after this season.
I'm into that.
Carolina is bad. Shouldn't they want a third for him?
Sure, I'll do that.
I would do that.
I'll pick him up at the airport. I won't even bring him wings.
No, you could bring him something else. Right? Even.
Unless he wants wings, in which case, you know, I'll stop at Duff's.
He sees you coming with a Greek salad. He's like, where am I?
Right.
What is this? Souvlaki. I thought I went to Buffalo. What is going on here? I know it's healthy, but. I think that kind of makes sense. I'm just, you know, anybody can, like, I'm doing find veteran receivers on losing teams, but
yeah.
As rare as it is.
I've got a working list, actually.
Do you?
Yes.
As rare as it is, these trades probably should happen more often than they do. It's like week eight or something when the deadline hits, and teams that are like 3-6 or something, if it's week nine, are not necessarily inclined to give up.
It is after week nine.
Is it?
Yeah, it's after the Miami game. The 5th, I think. Tuesday the 5th.
Yeah, and the Bills will not have had their bye by then, so they'll have played nine games.
Right.
So if you're 3-6 and there are 7 playoff spots per conference now, and first place in your division, because your division is bad, is 5-4, you might not want to trade that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot in the league. But still, getting in, I don't know. Anybody can do their own math on that. I like the player. Not everybody does. And I think he'd be the Bills' number one.
I think he'd easily be the Bills' number one. I don't know. Like, of guys that I've been thinking about, I mean, not all of them would be their number one. Like, I don't know. Like, Adam Thielen's another guy you could put on this list. He's in Carolina, too. I don't like that idea as much. He's older, and he's got another year left on his contract still.
And so he has a hamstring injury.
Okay, and like, I don't think he has to be your number one rolling in here. But I would say Johnson would be. I think DeAndre Hopkins would be. I think Amari Cooper would be. Obviously, Devontae Adams. The rest of the guys that you might speculate about, Cooper Kupp's name showed up on this list.
Ooh.
But that's just not realistic for the Bills. He's got 2 more years after this, big money too. So there's guys beyond Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams who are really the guys that get talked about all the time. Like, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen guys will get traded before Tuesday the 5th.
Whatever happened to Hunter Renfrow? He's not on a team. That guy put up like a seriously good season 2 years ago. Last year it fell off, but nobody's interested in him. At 28, 2021, 103 catches, 1,038 yards, and 9 touchdowns for the Raiders.
2021's a long time ago now. You know,
he did not miss a game last year. Like, he was active
just
for every game.
Just didn't do anything.
He caught,
right?
25 passes.
Right. What about in between there? What was 22? Was he hurt?
36 catches in 10 games.
So it's 2 seasons in a row that, I mean, fell off his kind. I mean, that's cratering from 100 catches to those numbers.
He's not who I want right now. Like, that's a slot receiver and the Bills have 5.
Right.
But I'm just trying to think of anybody who maybe could answer the call.
Tyler Boyd.
Also slots.
He was out there forever in free agency, too. And, like, you know, so you could have done that if you really wanted to. I don't know. Christian Kirk's another name I see on a list here. I mean, Jacksonville might feel like they're still alive, even though their record's terrible. But, you know, the division, I don't know.
It's one of Allen's guys.
Right, Right.
They're friends.
There's another year left there, too, and that's pretty big money. So, I don't know if you can make that work. If you're thinking at all, by the way, about T. Higgins for this, because the Bengals' record is bad, he being on the franchise tag, there's no... You have to take on the rest of what is left on the franchise tag. There is no renegotiating. There is no they'll eat money. There is no let me redo this for you. Like, that's it, right? When they didn't get a long-term deal done with him by the deadline, which is usually mid-July, that locks in, and that is immovable. So I seriously doubt that Cincinnati would trade him at this point anyway. I think they're still going to try to have a season.
Yep.
Although that could change in another month, I mean, or so. We got a few weeks still here before week nine. But whoever is going to do that, if they could, the money is just going to be a major headache.
803-0550, Sabres pregame at 6. So we had if you've heard me mention the Odyssey Fun Team.
Sure. Yeah,
I am a member of the fun team. Don't I seem like a great fit?
Actually, you do.
I appreciate that. I think you mean it.
I do.
So I enjoy being on the fun team. We plan parties. The party planning committee, you would say, on The Office.
Sure.
I'm on the party planning committee.
Right.
And so today's subject, we had a Zoom call. Today's subject was the Halloween party, naturally, coming up 3 weeks from today.
Yeah, I saw some email about this that I completely ignored.
You would not be a good...
No.
Fun team member.
I'm not. No.
You're not on board.
No.
So the Halloween party 3 weeks from today, and we talked prizes and games and food. And one of the members of the fun team said, she says, I live downtown and I just want to bounce this off of you guys, by the way. Not a question for the party, but how do you think it would go over if instead of candy, I gave out a cup of noodles? And she was there was immediate backlash. Other fun team members were very critical, very harsh.
Right.
But I kind of like it.
You would.
I kind of like it. not necessarily cup of noodles, but like I shop for my kids. Kind of everything comes in these little singular cups, packets, peanut butter, macaroni and cheese. You just buy like a little cup and just heat it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody else said that the parents wouldn't like it. I'm like, the parents would, what do they need, a 50th Snickers bar or something? Like, you just here's a kind of a meal for you.
But what kid aged, I know. Old enough to trick or treat too old to trick-or-treat, and that's a wide variance, I guess, depending on where you live. I get people that I'm pretty sure, have been out in bars drinking coming for trick-or-treat in my neighborhood occasionally. Good, cup of noodles.
Cup of noodles, though.
No.
Who doesn't like it?
Ah, it's what my wife doesn't feel good. Hun, will you stop? She loves the cup of noodles or the Lipton instant soup. Like the chicken noodle, please stop at Dash's and get me the cup of soup. I'm not handing that out to kids on Halloween. It's what my wife wants when her stomach hurts. Like, it's not happening. That is a terrible.
Ramen, same thing.
The whole idea, sure, same thing. The whole idea, trick or treat is to make your stomach hurt. We have too much candy.
Well, you're just trying to offer some balance. Balance is good in life.
Me soup. What's next? An apple?
I mean, people do that.
Yeah, I know. No.
This is better than that, or no? Ramen for Halloween.
Good
though.
I like ramen a lot. I think it's a push. It's just, it's not candy. They're both not candy.
That's true.
That's all there is to it.
Is there a candy ramen? I see beef, chicken. Is there probably a veggie one? Is there a candy? Is there a Snickers ramen?
Peppermint ramen. I just threw up a little.
Is there?
Oh, God.
Is there a peanut butter chocolate ramen out there? I just did a search on cup of noodles, and so like eBay listings come up, and there's an instant lunch. Like one of these cups that the guy wants $1,000 for.
What?
It's labeled rare. I don't see exactly yet why it's rare. Item specifics. Serves one. That's going to be right. Instant soup pack. 2.25 ounces. $1,019.11 is the asking price.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm going to pass on that. I'm a no. Well, you know, I thought it was a, it was brave to bring it up in the fun team.
Sure.
Zoom call. And I wanted to have her back.
I don't, I haven't, you know, it's, why would I be shopping for Halloween candy already? It's not the day before Halloween.
Right. Well, you're supposed to buy that in August.
So I haven't shopped yet. So I don't know if the prices have escalated. Like, is this an economical move? Are individual servings of a cup of noodles cheaper than fun size Snickers bars?
The ramen, they might be. I mean, a case of ramen is, I don't know, like $10 or something like that.
Right.
So per piece,
right?
It might be. Not like compared to the little fun size
right.
candy bars.
But you're not giving out just one of those anyway. It's usually like, you know, here's three or four of whatever, you know, that's how I do it anyway.
Yeah, the ramen is probably cheaper than those candy bars. I would like it. If my daughter came home from trick or treat with the usual bag of Halloween candy, and in there were a couple of ramen packets, everybody's happy. She might make fun of the person who mm-hmm. gave that out.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, but she likes to eat that. And she's got plenty of candy. The candy usually gets wasted. You go to one of these neighborhoods where you hit like 30 or 40 houses, eventually we just sort of quit the candy.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I don't think it all gets eaten.
I had a stash, I'm going to admit this live on the radio, from last Halloween. I usually overbuy because, you know, I don't want to be the dude that's like 7:30, like, turn the lights off. It looked like we're not home. We're out of candy. So I almost always have too much. And last year that was the case. And I had it in like a brown paper grocery bag. And I had it in the basement. I put it in the basement. I did not leave it out for everyone. I hid it.
You hid it, yeah.
And it was like a little stash. I didn't do this like every day, but like, you know, some point, you know, November, December, watching a Sabres game, like, oh, there's some Skittles downstairs. I'm going to go get a couple packs of little fun-sized packs of Skittles and have a little candy. My wife cleaned out the basement one day this summer, and the bag was gone. And I said, did you, there was a brown grocery bag on top of the, you know, the clothes rack there.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I threw a bunch of stuff out. I'm like, there was a lot of candy in
your secret candy stash.
You tossed my candy stash. It was very hurt.
She didn't look in the bag was the story. That was the version of events.
It's,
you just thrown out full bags of things, no matter what's in them. That's questionable.
Now I feel badly that I brought this up.
But come on, though, right?
This sort of thing happens. She's an impetuous, it's got to go. And just, okay. That's it.
I'm not even going to look in the bag.
Right. I don't
know. What could be in there?
Well, right. I mean, what? I don't.
Clothes or
yeah, I don't
beer?
Know. Yeah, maybe it made it into a bag that ended up getting donated. I don't know, because that's what she usually does with the clothes anyway. So maybe she just threw it in that. I don't know.
Well, a listener tweets, if you were passing out ramen noodles on Halloween, I'd be back at your house at least five times that night. Thank you, Michael. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after the update. This is WGR.
You know, I thought we defended really well. The drill we went in, played 5-5, 5-5, we defended well. We were out quick. We had a couple of opportunities to get pucks in the net. We deferred to, you know, not putting it there. I don't care what the drill is. You're going to get something out of it. Like our first penalty kill win faceoff, we don't get it out of the zone. We don't have a plan. Those two defensemen that went back need to have a plan. Like, let's execute every play like it's a game. So those little plays mean something. They got to mean something to everybody.
Still hasn't really sunk in that we're still here.
Yeah.
This many years later, and Lindy Ruff is explaining what has to happen, what has to change for the Sabres. I'm on board. It was a brutal first weekend, though. Like, I'm sure we had, with Ruff, with all coaches, I'm just sort of like back in time listening to his voice. But what he's describing sounds like coaching things. Having a plan with the puck and just like what to do in situations.
Right.
That's kind of like a coaching area, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think he's describing practice there. Like what, you know, do it with a purpose. And if you don't, that has been, you know, something I know before they went to Europe. And even people who were there covering those practices in Europe were saying like that he's stopping stuff and making them do it over. And so we'll see if that gets them anywhere. I mean, you know, attention to detail, of course, matters. And those little plays can't all add up. You know, but bigger issue is being on target and putting the puck in the net when you've got a chance to do so, especially with the man advantage. They got a lot of work to do here. And, you know, I don't know. I haven't gotten the speech yet. We'll see if Paul gives it in a half an hour or so about it taking time for the coach's new system, for the players to figure out how they got to play the new system. And I don't know if when we'll get to that space on the board. I hope never. You know, maybe they just win tonight and get off to the races, and by this time next week they're 3-2. That'd be great.
It would mean beating Florida.
Yes, on Saturday. That's right.
And then is it Columbus or Pittsburgh? Some road game next week. Three road games after Florida.
Yeah, Pittsburgh on Wednesday, Columbus on Thursday. Back to backs.
Oh, that's a tough trip.
And then Chicago Saturday night.
That is a tough trip.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh to Columbus.
Right.
I've driven that. I'm ready for a new driving challenge. Maybe next summer.
All right.
The Dakotas.
Done it.
Never been to Montana.
Didn't get that far.
I've never been to Oklahoma.
Sadly, if the Missoula Ice Hogs had drafted Owen, then maybe that's not a real team. I would have had reason to go to Montana.
There's got to be a hockey team somewhere in Montana.
I've always kind of wanted to go to Montana. I like
Pittsburgh
Montana.
To Columbus is pretty easy.
Yes.
Straight shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's next week. How about, if you don't mind, some fresh picks right now? Every Thursday on this show, actually, it's time for My Fresh Picks, brought to you by Umi Sushi and Seafood Buffet. Follow them on Facebook for their grand opening date. We've made it a habit to do one game, one player pick, like a prop bet, and then one futures pick. Last week's futures was Ja'Marr Chase to lead the NFL in receiving yards. He was way down the list at plus 900. Right now he is second to Justin Jefferson. Nico Collins was the leader, but Collins, of course, leaving the Bills game after his big touchdown with a hamstring injury, and the Texans have put him on injured reserve. So he'll miss at least four games, opening the door for the favorite now, Justin Jefferson, Chase, and others. So that was last week. It's not a win yet, but that could be a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
20 to win 180 or whatever it is. For a game this week, I like the feel of the Bears in London, minus a point and a half against Jacksonville. Chicago, I just feel trending up, and maybe Jacksonville a little bit of a one-off. I don't think they'll be so bad or anything. And they might get a little support, so to speak, here, because they're always in London, and they sort of know the routine of going there.
Mm-hmm.
They did get out late, if they even got out, because of the hurricane, though. So I just like the direction of the Bears, minus a point and a half is a pretty reasonable price. Geno Smith, I gave you the numbers already, averaging 323 yards passing per game since week two. Week one was a little bit more of a slog against Denver, like they ran the ball a lot. I don't know. We'll see what you get tonight. Their coaches, Mike McDonald wore a hat that said, run the damn ball. They're talking all about establishing the run and doing this after last week. In their loss to the Giants, getting away from that. Okay, but that's a team that wants to throw it. I mean, that's how they've played, even with Kenneth Walker. Think of the Lions game.
Right.
Was that a Monday night game?
Yeah.
And he scored three times. But they still, 38 first downs. Geno kind of went off. It's his birthday. I don't love the Seahawks tonight. But
you
even
love,
if I'm...
You
if,
love Geno.
I really do. I think I'm optimistic.
You're talking yourself into taking him over Josh Allen in fantasy, aren't you?
This is how I get into trouble.
Yep. Overthinking.
It's true. Last week, my buddy and I benched Kittle. We had... It's harder when you have good options.
Sure, sure.
And so let's just sit Kittle. He's not 100%. He missed practice. You know how the Niners are, like every week it's someone different. Last week the guy who was left out was Deebo Samuel, who did nothing in that game, but Ayuk had a huge game and Kittle scored again. So you never know, but yeah, that backfired. That overthinking. He was in our lineup until like noon on Sunday. And then we could take him out, you know, and we did, and it didn't work. But I like Geno Smith tonight on the props, and in fantasy, he's a top 6 to 8 quarterback option this week. He's a QB1 this week. And did I use this one before? Did I use this one last week? The Broncos to make the playoffs bet?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
I think I might have. But it would have been a bigger number. I'm not sure I did. I like him right now anyway. Plus 185. Denver to make the playoffs. Who has a better chance of making the playoffs, in your opinion? Denver or Miami?
I think Denver.
Their odds are slightly better. Miami is plus 200, so the market agrees. The market, it's close, so you took your time there, just like I think was it was appropriate to do that.
I thought.
You didn't overthink.
I didn't overthink, but I did think.
Yeah. There needs to be sort of a guideline here. Yeah. How much thinking is the right amount?
Does this bring to a close your fresh picks for the week?
It does.
Because we should, while we're thinking about picking things, do what we didn't do last week and pick tonight's game.
I agree. I would do that.
You're ahead.
Do you want the music first?
Oh, really? I don't know. I guess I wasn't, NFL thinking, pick? I wasn't thinking about an official NFL pick. But sure.
What if I did do it? Even though I admit to nothing and never will. What does that make me? And I'm not here just defending myself, but all those pickers out there who've been caught. Each and every one of them. Who has to suffer the shame and humiliation because of people like you.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Are we not human? If we pick, do we not bleed?
On WGR.
I am not an animal.
Sports Radio 550.
I know you're still ahead, but I don't know by how much.
I don't either.
I went 2-3 last week.
I had 3-2.
Okay, so you're 6.5 ahead then.
Okay.
You were 5.5 going into last week. I remember that number. So there we have it. I didn't see an update from our big fan up there. North, I think Canada is where that account
that is North
emanates from. But I didn't see an update. But anyway, 6.5 is the lead. So anyway, you get to go first.
Okay. Well, I will take San Francisco, -3.5. I do like Geno Smith, but a lot of the big passing games come in losing efforts.
Yeah.
I think the Niners remind the league tonight that they're pretty good. Kind of a fluky. What Warren Sharp had this on them, that really they're fine except in the red zone.
Right.
And they used to be super efficient. Think of Deebo running, you know, end arounds and scoring easily. But that hasn't been happening yet for them this year.
Without really doing any research, and as nice as the running back has been stepping in, maybe that's a place they really miss McCaffrey. Like having all that he can do for them there in the passing game too, maybe that really hurts. Well, this is a non-event then, because I'm not going to take Seattle for the sport of it. I'm already behind by 6.5, and I'm not going to make a pick I don't believe in. Because I absolutely agree with you. I think San Francisco tonight says, yeah, we're still here. Yeah, we're not buried and we're not dead, and you know we're still going to be heard from. So
only two 49ers through five games have receiving touchdowns. They each have three: Kittle and Juwan Jennings, who had 3 in 1 game, that game against the Rams where they got beat. But only a rushing touchdown for Deebo Samuel. Very quiet season for him so far. He did miss one game. Ayuk super quiet until last game, but no touchdowns yet for him either. And Mason doesn't really catch the ball. Like, McCaffrey is missed in that area. Mason's been really good on the ground, but he doesn't really catch the ball. All right, so we're both on San Francisco. Sabres and Kings coming up. Paul Hamilton will join us in less than 20 minutes. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR. I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to play Geno over Josh?
I'm not. We talked about this with Sal. It's the fear, and I hate this because it is most definitely not analytics, but that fear of seeing like a 9-point game on a Thursday night and having to stare at it for 4 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And there's
Allen
on the bench.
Are you sure those are the four? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Those are the 4 days, and Allen is on your bench, and there's Geno Smith and his 9. I can't
yep.
live with that possibility. So Allen it is,
yeah, but
I don't love it. Well, if their names were changed, I would definitely play tonight's guy.
Because the downside to that is he puts up 38, say, tonight. And you're staring at that on your bench for 4 days.
I wonder what the ceiling really is. Like, he could have a big touchdown game. He needs that. He doesn't run. Well, actually, that's not true. He did run.
Oh, that play.
50 yards or something.
He ran, and that was to set up what would have been the game-tying field goal. Did you see Jackson Smith and Jigba on that play?
Yes.
I can't believe it's Thursday, and I tweeted about it. I was watching that. I was on Seattle for Survivor, so obviously I was rooting for Seattle to get the game-tying field goal and hopefully win in overtime. And I don't think I noticed it on the broadcast. I don't think they highlighted it on the broadcast. But very soon after the game ended, I saw a footage of, if you don't know, Smith and Jigba was running way downfield, and he looked over his shoulder. Could you tell I looked over my shoulder just now? He saw Geno taking off. And he not only kept running, he put his head up like he was looking for the ball. And two Giants ran with him that helped Geno get all that extra yardage. It was just such a heady play. I'm sure it's not unprecedented, but it was really just the footage just really highlighted what a smart play it was by the kid. Really good play.
Shades of Tony Hill against Mel Blunt in Super Bowl 13. He didn't turn his head up or look, you know, anything like that, like he was looking for a pass, but he just kind of kept going downfield and kept facing forward, and Blunt was like right with him, and yeah, and he never noticed. Maybe it was Hill who scored in Pearson. I might have it backwards. Anyway, yeah, never noticed the guy running by him with the ball
right
in the Super Bowl. Hill scored. I'm going to say Hill scored. Pearson made the play.
Pearson was the one.
I think so.
That drew the guys away. Yeah.
I'm not sure anymore about anything. Allen, though, you got. Let's hope. Not just for my team either. Let's hope. A league I'm in, somebody did the thing where, like, Josh Allen is available for the right price. If I see so and so is available for the right price posted one more time, I'm just going to throw up. You want to sell a ping pong table. You know, I know the show has never sounded older, but you put an ad in the paper for you want to sell like a ping pong table. You don't just not mention what you want for it.
You want to give me some idea where to start.
Right.
Right.
What do you want for him? You know, but just like the onus is on everybody else to come to me and
occasionally
say,
I'll see a guitar that really catches my eye on like Facebook Marketplace. And this doesn't happen a lot, but occasionally be a guitar that I think might be worth, you know, a couple $1,000s, say. And it just says, make an offer. I'm like,
no.
Like, dude, what are you doing?
Refuse to make an offer.
I'm going to make an offer. $150.
Right. So they can yell at you.
Right. I mean, does nobody want this thing? I'll take it for $150.
Exactly.
I might even actually take it for $1,500 if it's really worth $2,000, but I'll start at $150 because you're telling me just make an offer.
Have the courage to put a price up.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you want to let me know that that's negotiable, okay, fine. I'm definitely going to take you up on that. Give me a number.
That should be implied too. Don't write
sure
or best offer because then nobody will pay you the asking price. I think
right.
That's like an eBay thing.
Right.
Thinking about that cup of soup for a grand, by the way, that's on eBay. I was going to say something like I'm still open to that. I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not opening to buying a $2 cup of soup on eBay for $1,000. I know better. I know at least that much. I'm not overthinking it. The Steve Foley Law pregame show, Sabres and Kings. The home opener is next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with Paul Hamilton after this. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.